Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, James. I'm very proud of you. Do you want to know why?
No.
Because you're keeping a plant alive for the first time in your life.
I can keep a plant alive, get a kid alive. I'll keep anything alive. I'll keep an active volcano alive. I don't mind.
For backstory, my name's Claire. James is over there. We're sitting a bit further apart because isolation podcasting, well, even though we're married.
This is how it's set up for when I do my more successful podcast.
So yeah. You sound so busy tonight. He's so busy. He's snapping.
I am busy. I've got a lot of recordings and editing to do. I'm trying to get a whole bunch of videos and stuff in the can.
Because we're about to have a baby in 3 weeks.
That's right. We're both about to have a baby. Both of us have been putting in the hard yards to get that baby growing.
Totally. Anyway, I'm very proud because I don't think you've ever had an indoor plant. And I casually said to you that the plant that I bought for your studio, our studio, was dying. And it's not been done anymore.
Well, the reason why.
Is this interesting? Probably not to
anybody. I've never had a plant. It's because, in all honesty, they're kind of pointless. And I don't really need one.
But you don't understand. But this is you. This is, okay, so if you've never heard this man talk over there before, his hypothesis include the sky is overrated.
Yep.
Beer is a conspiracy.
Yep.
Plants are pointless.
Yep.
So basically.
Plants are obviously
he's
not
heartless.
Pointless. Like they're obviously not pointless.
They create ambience. They also freshen the air.
Yeah, they freshen the air. They collect bugs.
Exactly. And bugs are important for the environment.
Classic. But look, the important thing is that I have a plant. We have a plant and I've kept the plant alive. Should I get into my perverse recommendation?
Yeah, you should. Just before you do, I also think that you need to address the monkey in the room.
You? Gotcha.
The elephant. No, the elephant in the room. The reason why you sound so flat today, what happened?
Oh, I had a
what
car.
Did you
I
do?
I smashed the shit out of the side of the car.
A brand new car and I loved it and it was all shiny, shiny.
Not anymore,
beautiful.
Not one side of it. So I was in one of those where I dropped you off your appointment, I'm not allowed to go in for social isolating reasons for the baby.
Yeah.
And as I was coming out of the car park, it was one of those tower car parks that's really tight and it's a bigger car and I'm like sleep deprived and I've been working late night editing everything and I just turned a corner and I just hit a pole. And I hit it so hard.
And a wall. It's like a wall. You hit a wall.
Yeah, I was like, as you go down the ramp. And I hit 3 out of the 4 panels on one side of the car and smashed in a door handle. But to be fair, I did do it.
You would have had to drive, like it's all the way along. So you had to just keep driving. Yeah,
it was done. Like I wasn't like,
you just committed.
Oh no, I've hit it. Maybe if I creep out of this. It was like, it was done. Like it was just before I'd realized what was happening. And I'm just like, oh my God. And the worst part is honestly, I don't want to deal with this shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, just another fucking thing.
To be fair, I always do all that stuff for you. So
that's true. Well, to be fair.
The organizing of the car.
For our other car, you did smash every side of the car.
Yeah, I know, but just in the corners. Yeah, but I'm prego and my spatial awareness went to shit.
Yeah.
That's actually a genuine thing. No, but to be fair, I felt so sorry for you. Initially, I was devastated because it was a brand new car that, like, we've never owned a brand new car ever in our whole life. And I really
love that car. Now we definitely don't. Because I ruined it.
We've only got 3 weeks to go.
It'll be fine. I'll fix it.
Lucky we're not driving. We bought it because we'd need to be driving places with 2 kids.
No,
but
we're not going nowhere.
So
anyway, we've got to get into it.
All right, get your
my
stuff
first
out.
Recommendation.
Get it out.
I'm getting out.
I hit the plant.
This don't touch that plant. You know how much I care for it. But so the first
Does it
one,
have
the
a name?
One is
Planty.
Underwater. Planty's fine. Underwater is a movie that came out in February.
Oh, I know this
year.
One. Kevin Costner.
No,
with a little
that's Waterworld.
That's covered with the things. Oh, sorry.
That is a fact about Waterworld. If
flippity,
people were wondering where the money, Laura Ludlum.
I'm Kevin Costner. I'm bald, but I've got flippity flippity feet. I like to swim in the ocean.
He didn't have flippity feet. He had gills in his neck.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he also have flippers on?
No, he didn't. But maybe he was wearing flippers. But the idea behind Waterworld, the budget blew out, and part of the reason was because Kevin Costner thought he looked too bald in certain scenes, so I had him CGI hair into his bald head.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was worth it because that movie's spectacular.
We have discussed before how obsessed men are with their hair.
Yes.
Would you do that if you know, if you only noticed after a giant blockbuster film was all filmed that you had a bald patch?
I guess if there was the money and you're like a movie star and your whole thing is your image, then yeah, I guess you would.
Okay.
Because a lot of them, it's hair plugs and wigs and everything. Like it's crazy. It's like rampant in Hollywood. It's everybody's on human growth hormone and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I guess you would.
All right, so we wanted a record that if James ever realizes he has a bald patch.
And I'm a Hollywood superstar.
He's a Hollywood superstar.
Wouldn't
in
you?
In an average blockbuster movie.
Average? Try the biggest movie of 1990. No, it was a massive bomb. But made it money back eventually. But no, it wouldn't you? If you were in a movie and you could, and you had a bald spot, wouldn't you CGI it out?
Yeah, but the difference is I have lustrous
There's
hair.
There's no difference.
Not a grey hair on my head.
So
I would never
did
go bald.
Kevin Costner. And women do go bald. It happens.
Yeah. We've really rambled.
Yeah, look.
Who's taking us off track?
You with your plants and your cars.
And your bald
Kevin
patches.
Costner bald patch.
Okay, so tell us about underwater. Your swim underwater film.
It's directed by William Eubank, and it stars Kristen Stewart, Vincent Cassel, Jessica Henwick, John Gallagher, TJ Miller, who's currently cancelled for various crimes. But It opened poorly. It was made for between like 50 and 80 million. It was one of the ones that Fox sold off to Disney, and it made about 40 million. This came out at a bad time just before the pandemic. But far enough ahead of it that it could have still made money, but it didn't.
Was it also the soundtrack? Under the Sea.
That didn't
Under
help. Because people were like, this
Darling
is from a
is
different
better.
Movie.
It had a singing crustacean.
So it's heavily reminiscent of like disaster and horror movies from the 80s. I'm not going to name which specifically because there is that kind of reveal in the movie what is going on. Okay. But it's set in a underwater research facility and mining facility at the bottom of the ocean somewhere. I can't remember. I was kind of half watching.
Oh, like
it
one
at
of those
start.
Underwater housey.
Yeah, exactly. Like things. Like the television show Ocean Girl.
I was just going to say that because I bloody love Ocean Girl.
Well, then you'd love this.
I love it so much. He swims with the whales.
Anyway, it immediately starts. There's not really any build up. The thing just explodes and starts sinking, and the corridor starts flooding with water, and that's like how it starts. And then it's about the crew members trying to escape this sinking facility for the length of it. It's only like an hour and a half. And look, there's not many new movies at the moment. You probably haven't seen this, but it is available on streaming. But to be honest, it's fairly decent kind of sci-fi adventure horror throwback with a really great lead performance.
I actually really want to watch
Kristen Stewart.
This.
And I think it's, again, I'm not going to say what it's reminiscent of because if you don't know, you probably don't want to know because it kind of will ruin a lot of the movie. But it just does a lot of the things, a lot of the tropes well. It's not very original, but the things that it apes, it does a fairly decent job at replicating them.
Do you mean apes as in like replicate?
Yeah, that's what an ape does. It replicates apes.
I've never heard that phrase
apes,
before.
You know, like
also,
an ape.
And for the listener, James just did an ape dance.
I did not. Just to clarify, I absolutely did not.
You
I was
did.
Stoic and still.
You were doing a
and you can't
dance.
Even see my bald patch from this angle.
We have a pact as a married couple that if I ever see that you have a bald patch,
if you're like
I have
your
to
hair's
tell
looking
you.
Real thin, just tell me and I'll just shave it. I'll be done. I wouldn't be walking around thinking I'm getting away with anything.
Yeah. You do need a haircut.
I absolutely do need
you
a haircut.
You do, because you got your silver fox going on, which looks great when it's short, but
it's
as it gets longer,
long.
It starts to get like old man weird.
Yeah, it's no good. Yeah.
Lucky I still love you.
Yeah. Anyway, you should watch it. Should, if that kind of thing appeals to you.
I love that. You know how much I love an underwater world kind of movie because I don't like horror. I get scared by like things. But for some reason, underwater shit, bloody love it. Yeah. I saw Megalodon, bloody lost my mind.
Yeah, well then I think you might be.
The Meg.
That's
what it was called.
Movie.
The Meg. It was terrible. But I love, there's something that fascinates me about the ocean because guys, what's in there? Nobody knows. Bears or bees?
Bears, underwater bears.
Underwater bears. Well, there's like, I don't polar bears swim some of the time.
They do.
But like, do you know what I mean? Like the ocean, there's more ocean on Earth than land. We can't get down there into all its bits. There's a lot of scary things down there. Nobody knows what.
Who cares?
He looks so tired.
Who cares what's down there?
In
all honesty.
Don't you reckon? And there's all like googly-eyed things that like flash in the dark.
You know what they should do? They should get rid of the ocean.
You don't know. There's a giant.
They should siphon off the ocean into a big bucket so we don't have to deal with it anymore.
What? I'm pretty sure environmentally that wouldn't work.
No, because we keep that the water. We need the ocean. It's in the bucket. It's in the bucket. If we need it, we can pour it back from the bucket. We're like, actually, like we need. We're like, oh, actually, we need this Pacific Ocean.
What we'll is pour this some of them science back. By yeah. Donald Trump?
No, this is science this by is a man who knows
James
a lot about science.
James aping science by Donald Trump.
Hey, that man is a national treasure.
He called the virus an antibiotic this week.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Don't even worry about him.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, what's your recommendation?
All right, moving on from the darky-darky, swimmy-swimmy things that are in the ocean. Guys, we don't know what's in there. What's up in there?
Get it all in a bucket.
We don't know.
It's like if you
there's
get a bucket.
There's so much shit in there we don't know.
It's like when you're panning for gold. We just do that with all the stuff in the in the ocean and be like, what's in here?
There is definitely a giant squid somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah, they exist.
Like a tentacly. Anyway, it terrifies me but also fascinates me, so I'm going to watch that movie.
Yeah.
What was it called, the one you recommended?
Ocean Girl.
Oh, yes, I love that show. That's why I love that show. No, you know, I'm serious. Tell me the other one.
Waterworld.
No. Well, yeah, that one with the baldy patch.
The Abyss.
So it was underwater.
Yes.
There you go.
It was. And, the funny thing is, a lot of it, probably almost all, is set underwater.
Oh, funny. Tell me where I could get it.
It's on streaming, very streaming. So I used a VPN. I can't remember.
Oh, was it possibly ExpressVPN?
Yes.
One of our sponsors that we're going to talk about next week. Actually, our only sponsor.
Yeah. Good.
Good.
That's all I want. I only want one.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, well, this one is not set underwater.
What is it?
Disappointingly.
Oh.
It's called United States of Tara. It's
everybody knows this, man.
I know, it's an old show, but I want to talk about it because all three seasons, there's only three seasons, then it got cancelled, which is a little sad, but still great watching, is available on Amazon Prime. And I just thought it was really interesting. It was actually the whole concept of the show was made by Steven Spielberg and his wife, whose name is Kate Capshaw.
My wife, yeah, she was in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. She's the one who's like, Indy! And he's like, the bloody woman, the bloody, bloody, I'm sick of that shit, quite frankly.
All right. Well, anyway, so she seems really cool too. And so it's based around the idea of the central character played by Toni Collette. And that she has a disorder called dissociative identity disorder, which was formerly known as multiple personality disorder.
Yes.
And I think what's really interesting about it is it's really hard to define. It's one of those shows, James, that's like hilarious but also moving and unconfronting and outrageous and a little bit indescribable, much like a dramedy, would we say.
All those things you're describing, I imagine you say hilarious. And what else did you say?
Confronting.
Hilarious, confronting.
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
Moving.
Yeah. Okay, that's unmoving. I imagine a monster truck with a big smiley face on the front. That fits that description perfectly.
Yeah. But is a monster truck with a smiley face hilarious?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, comedy is subjective, so I'm going to say yes.
All right. You know what is hilarious? Your bald patch.
How dare you, Claire.
I'm telling you, in this moment in time. To tell you.
Next time you get come you back next week, I'm going to be completely, I'm going to have a shaved head.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, back to the show. It's so excellent. And I just am in awe of Toni Collette and her acting prowess because she plays Tara, the central character, who's a suburban artist and mother coping with dissociative identity disorder. But it also looks beautifully at her family. And I think one of the core things about this show is that the writing is so excellent and her family. So her husband is played by John Corbett.
Aiden from Sex and the City.
Yes. And he's like the rock of the show. He kind of has been with her for 17 years.
Can you smell
years.
What the rock is cooking? That's a wrestling reference.
Oh,
well,
there you go. Let me keep. Stop interrupting. Who would do that? But their relationship is so beautiful and he clearly just loves her so much that he's willing to put up with the outrageousness of her embodying kind of all of these different people at the same time. And every time she embodies one of her what she calls alters, she can't remember anything that they do. So one of them is like this like kind of really blokey hillbilly man, and then there's also a 15-year-old girl, and then there's Alice, who is like a 1950s housewife. And then you start to also see other characters unfold through the show, which I won't spoil. But every time she's one of those characters, she can't remember anything that's happened.
Like a Fight Club.
Yeah. They also have two teenage kids. One, Kate, is played by Brie Larson, who we love.
Oh, is she? America. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Brie Larson was
in that. And she's really funny in it. Because she's just got a really... You know, her delivery is quite dry and deadpan, and she plays it so perfectly as sort of like a troubled teenage daughter.
Yeah.
And then Marshall, her brother, is played by Keir Gilchrist.
Yes.
And he's gay and kind of grapples with his sexuality throughout the show, which is kind of really interesting as well. So there's a lot of themes around just being a teenager and how hard that is in relationships. And
how is it? Hard is it, you reckon?
Bloody hard, and high school sucks and all of that kind of stuff. And
nah, not if you're the coolest guy in school like I was.
All right. And then her sister is played by Rosemary DeWitt. And she is, you would know her as a character in La La Land. She's the sister of, plays the piano in like the main lead. Now my brain's gone.
Emma
Ryan
Stone.
Gosling. Is Ryan Gosling in La La Land? His sister. Yeah. She's also in an episode of Black Mirror, and she's in Mad Men. But she's excellent, and she's kind of Tara's self-absorbed younger sister in the show. And she's also great, and their relationship is really interesting. So what I love about this show is just the dialogue, the relationships between the characters. And even though it sounds like it does explore mental illness, I think in a really considered way, even though it is also very funny and traumatic and all of those things, I think the strength of the show is in the writing and the dialogue between the characters, which is, you know, what I always love about a show.
Yes.
Any premise you can put in place, as long as you've got really true and believable characters who have really
you can make anything if you do.
Relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the relationships between those characters that are so beautiful and oftentimes really heartbreaking. And I think that comes down to the writer of this show, Diablo Cody. Do you know much about her?
Who's that? I've heard that name, definitely. Yeah.
Right, so that's her pen name. Her actual name is Brooke Morio. She was born in 1978 on June 14th.
Oh.
So she is a writer and producer. She started off with a blog and subsequent memoir called Candy Girl, A Year in the Life of an Unlikely Stripper. But turns out she wrote Juno, which was her debut feature film script. And that won, like, oh my gosh, so many awards for the best original screenplay, BAFTA award for best original screenplay, just a brilliant film. And I think the dialogue in Juno, you can see hints of that in The United States of Tara.
I've watched Juno again. I haven't watched that since it came out.
Yeah, me neither.
I really like Ellen Page and Michael Cera. So.
Yeah, me too. And I really like her writing style. She just seems like a really interesting person. And Toni Collette in an interview really raved about her too.
Yeah.
So her writing is just brilliant, and I think it really comes to the fore in United States of Tara, and that's why I think she got Toni Collette as the lead, because the writing just, as you can tell, kind of jumps out at you, out of the page. So it's also just really funny, and I just have got really absorbed in it. And at these particular times, I just think it's one of those shows you binge watch. And
that started in the mid-2000s or something, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
2007, 2005.
What, Juno? Juno was released in 2007.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, United States of Tara is 2009 to 2011.
Cool, gotcha. Oh, really? It was only short.
Mm. But what I also thought was really interesting about it is that when I was watching it, I was trying to pinpoint why I could identify so much with the character and with the writing and why I loved it so much. And then when I found out it was a woman that was writing it, I could tell. And I know this sounds very, I don't know, ranty or something, but the reactions between the relationships between the daughter, her mother, her sister, the way that women are portrayed in it, their sexuality is portrayed, their feelings around motherhood and identity and all that kind of stuff just really rang true. And that's actually not that common, particularly in shows I think that are written by men. Not that I don't enjoy shows that are written by blokes.
I know you're saying, because it's coming from a perspective of somebody who's experienced these things.
Yeah, it kind of deals with those.
I don't think that's outrageous.
All right. Yeah. I know I sort of have to feel – I feel like I need to put caveats around all this stuff.
You should. Apologize for all opinions.
And I don't want to do that. But I just – I guess what I'm trying to say is I think that, like, in a broader sense, it deals with the reality that women often face, and I'm sure men do this as well, but that we have to be so many different people in so many different situations and different people for other people in our lives and play all these different roles.
Yeah. I think that can be true for a lot of people, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and so they explore that in general, but I think for women in particular, that can really, particularly as parents and I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in it that makes you really think, but also makes you laugh, and it really hits a true chord, true note. Anyway, very I loved good. It. It's on Amazon Prime. Your turn.
Well, I have something equally thought-provoking, something that I've just gotten back into. They had quite a bit of a hiatus.
Don't sound so enthused.
And no, Claire, I'm building up to it. So,
guys,
but this
doesn't
actually
want to be here.
Started back up in March, and look, I'm back into it in a big way. It's the Auntie Donna podcast. And look, I know this is obviously like a podcast on our network, but this is something I'd happily recommend regardless. Mm-hmm. But because it's, if you don't know Auntie Donna, they're a comedy sketch group. They've been on a bit of hiatus because they've been working on a project which...
Top of secrecy.
It's top secret. I'd love to talk about it, but it has nothing to do with me, quite frankly. But it's, yeah, you'll see.
You'll all see.
You'll all be sorry. Or you naysayers.
That comes in my recommendation next, that phrase. Anyway.
They've just started putting some old sketches up that they hadn't previously released because they recorded them for when Rove came back last year, and then the show was axed like almost immediately. So they had these. So they're kind of, those are starting up on their YouTube channel. But those are there. But the podcast is this funny and silly, surreal, I don't know, maybe variety show. I don't know. It's different every week. The most recent one was, if you know that, there's a few members of Auntie Donna. There's the three front men, but there's other people also cycle in and out, and also people who are full-time members of the team but also work behind the scenes as well, with writing and music and things like that. But in this particular episode, it's Mark is just being Mark. Mark's got the beard. He's the one they call the little Italian kind of guy. Broden is playing the biggest Harry Potter fan in the world who also hasn't seen the movies or read the books. So he's just making up a lot of Harry Potter stuff as they go. And Zach is pretending to be Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but he's lacking confidence. So he's like, I'm Dwayne The Rock. You might know me from my big muscles and all that. I can't do it. I'm not doing any justice. But also the things that he talks about are oddly accurate and specific and real true life things that are true of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And also during the course of the episode, you find out that Mark is, in real life, has had too much caffeine and is struggling to kind of right the ship as he feels like he's going to have a heart attack and an existential crisis at the same time. So it's always different every week. You kind of don't know what you're walking into, but it's really fun. And just listen to it because it's lighthearted and fun. And they're still doing them over Zoom now at the moment. The latest one is actually... The first one I mentioned is actually up on their YouTube channel.
They're so clever and great. Their whole YouTube channel in general is just brilliant.
I've been, recently. Yeah. Every now and then I'll just kind of fall down the rabbit hole and I'll just go through and kind of like watch everything again.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My favorite one I think is The School Nurse. It's one of my favorite ones, my recent
one. The Sea Breeze, boys.
No, that's Sea Breeze, but I can't
even
do it.
He literally does that every day all through our house all of the time.
Salty air on my lungs. Breathe it in, boys. Taking that sea breeze, boys.
You need to go and watch that sketch.
And I love Ron Kelly. We saw Joker together, the movie Joker.
He's so funny and great.
So fucking funny.
He's actually the director of Jess Perkins' comedy show. He is. Jess Perkins from our other podcast that I love, Do Go On. And I love a lot of podcasts, but, that's one that's awesome. And Jess is supposed to do a comedy stand-up show in the Melbourne Comedy Festival that got canned, but he was directing her show, which made me really happy because...
Hopefully that'll come back.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. And anyway, great. You'll be seeing him real
I
soon.
Will. Is it my turn?
It is. Okay, done, yeah.
Well, speaking of comedy, I have a comedy recommendation too. We've gone from Under the Sea to All Things Funny. I don't know, that didn't even make sense. Celia Piccola, who I love, who's a great stand-up comedian from Melbourne, she has a new comedy special that's just been released on Amazon Prime called All Talk.
Ah.
All Talk.
I saw you watching this, yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny. I actually saw this show or a version of this show live last year in the Comedy Festival, and it was great then, and it's great. It's a great watch and really fun, really funny. But it also kind of explores some dark themes about her life as well. But in general, I love Celia's comedy because it's often just so lighthearted and funny and silly and great, but also very frank. Yeah, and the reason I was laughing while we were saying that you'll all see is because every year she chooses a motto for her life. And that's her motto from last year was, you'll see, you'll all see. And that was like the thing that motivated her for the year, which makes me laugh so much because, people are always like, seize the day and all that stuff. No, you'll see, you'll all see. Yeah, so she's just great. I would recommend her in lots of things. She's also just a brilliant actress. And she's in Utopia, which is a really hilarious show, kind of in a similar vein to The Office, but about politicians and behind the scenes of politics. She's so funny in that. She does a great show, Rosehaven, with Luke McGregor.
Yes.
Silly Bacola. They've written it together.
We
have. Yeah, it's a great show on the ABC. But you can find that. I think it's definitely on streaming services. But she also does serious drama too. And I've seen her in that show that was based on a classic. What's that called? I always forget what. A Beautiful Lie? A Beautiful Lie.
Yeah, but it's based on.
And it's got the girl, the actress that is in. The other thing that you
Succession.
Love, Succession.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just a brilliant drama.
I will Google that.
Yeah, can
that.
You
I'll
Google that while
that.
I keep on rambling? So she's in that and she plays like a mother in that and just really, really well, but it's quite a straight role.
Mm.
And the other thing that I've been loving about Celia Piccola recently, I've just gone on a bit of a deep dive. She just recently finished the season of Dancing with the Stars in Australia and she won it. And what's so amazing is she's actually a brilliant dancer.
Like, turns out, yeah.
Turns out, and she's never done any dancing before, and she barely could look her dancing man in the eye because he looks like Cupid but grown up with like muscles. And she said she doesn't like to be in the touched by anyone she doesn't know, let alone by a bloke she doesn't know. And she had to do all these spins and listen to it, and she couldn't stop laughing. Like, she couldn't even be in the same room with him initially. Because he's like very handsome and, you know, like a dancer. Anyway, and she just breaks through all of it, breaks down her barriers. She's got a lot of like kind of body issues around her weight and stuff. And she just had to be sexy and, you know, very serious in this dancing routines. And I know it seems it's a reality TV show, but I think it's my favorite of all of them because you can't fake it. You can't fake that kind of like they have to do like 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah, it's so
of serious, rigorous training.
I look
every
at
day.
That and it gives me heart palpitations because I am a terrible dancer.
Because even if you're doing like a singing show, I still, you know, those are challenging, but everybody can kind of get up there and make some noise and talk.
Make some noise.
But, you know, but that kind of skill and that fitness level you have
the physicality
to go to.
Of it.
And then the amount that they work hard and then these routines they create are just so awesome.
My favorite thing is when they get like a very old person with a very young person and the young person does a lot of the like running about and that's John Wood in the middle kind of like shuffle at his feet. No shade on John Wood.
No shade at all. He's in a Auntie Donna sketch.
Yes, he's in Bikey
Wars. Very funny in that.
Yeah.
Anyway, this particular season, and you can go back and watch it online, and if you follow Silly Piccolo on Instagram, you can see her dances. But as an awkward comedian, kind of self-deprecating stand-up, to watch her just do these like incredibly difficult and often quite serious and heartfelt dances, and she talks a lot about her depression and anxiety and mental health as well. She really champions mental health. She has one or two routines, particularly 1 week where her depression just kind of took over and she really struggled to get through. And she was just really beautiful the way she talked about it so honestly and openly. Anyway, it just made me happy. And during this time, everybody's going to get some happy.
By the end,
they're
like dancing to like no crowds.
So you literally see they started before the pandemic kind of took off. And then by the end, they're all social distancing and there's no crowds in the room. And she just smashed it. And I just think it's always really cool to see someone do something outside their comfort zone and rock it and be vulnerable, which I think is really challenging. And often for comedians, I think it can be even more challenging to kind of open up in that way and take yourself seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really respect that. She was great in it. And, so All Talk on Amazon Prime plus Dancing with the Stars with Silly Piccola.
Silly Piccola.
All right.
Is that the show?
That's the show.
Terrific. Well, look.
Terrific.
While you're bringing up something that people listen to or something. Oh, wait. So what are they doing?
I have an email.
Cool. Yeah, you can do that.
Do you want
me
to do that first?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so you can email the show with your suggestions. We love to hear them, mainly because we're running out of our own.
Not me.
So you can email the show at suggestiblepod@gmail.com. We also just love to hear from you. If you have something you want to say, we'll love to
not
hear
always.
It.
I always
read them. James does not always read all the emails.
I have no idea how to access that email. But Claire tells me the ones, the good ones, the ones that filter through.
No, all of them. I tell you
not
about
true.
Them. Anyway.
You tell me about them.
All right. Well, but I read them all. So Julie Reynolds, thank you so much for writing in. Hello there, she says. Love your podcast. My boyfriend turned me onto it shortly after we found out we were pregnant with your parenthood episode.
What?
You're giving birth to our parenthood episode?
What?
How awkward.
Maybe they were using it for lovemaking.
Yeah. Well, everybody does.
Everybody does.
They call us the love makers. No, Collings edited that out. That was bad.
No, nah, Collings, leave it in.
I think I was going for, it's just a love machine. Is that a song?
No, no, you did it.
Oh.
Everything's a song if you want it to be.
I have a baby crammed up against my organs. No judgment.
My organs,
what am I going to do once his baby's out? I'll have no excuse.
The problem with my organs is because my torso was so muscular. That's the problem because my organs feel a little bit constricted from my abs.
Do you know the most infuriating thing about me being pregnant?
How many chin-ups I can do?
Yes. It's just watching James get progressively fitter as the 9 months has gone on, and he's bloody chin-up bar to put in the bloody doorway. I got into bed last night and I had to remove a chin-up bar from our bedroom doorway.
I actually haven't done any working out today, so I'm feeling pretty rubbish.
Oh, the I know. One day.
No, thank you for acknowledging that. One day, yes. That's right. Oh, thank you for empathising with me for once.
You stopped making me look at you and talk about your muscles.
Are you clear? Where am I looking this morning?
You would do that like every day forever. And then I got pregnant and like I was becoming like a giant human. And you just, at one time, I just exploded at you because you're like, Claire, look at my muscles. What do you think? I'm feeling a bit down today. I don't know. I'm probably eating too much. And I was looking at you and I've just turned into this human, like bloody Michelin woman. And I just lost it.
Day one, as soon as that baby is out of you, we're going back to that routine.
Oh, great. Thanks.
You telling me how good I look.
Okay, great. That'll be or not exactly good. What I need
want you to
be
hear. Honest.
Because actually, thank you. While you're pregnant, fine, got a baby, you know, you're preggo. But then the baby comes out and it's not like you immediately like pop back into the size that you were. I mean, some women do. I'm not one of those women. That's the whole thing. So I'm going to love that, just looking at
Thank
your muscles.
You. I appreciate that.
To be fair, I like some eye candy around the house. So keep working out, mate. One day you'll get there.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, let can't me finish.
Can't work
Julie.
Out that bald
I've been
spot.
Reading her email and I'm off topic. Shout out to my husband for buying me the cookbook you suggested as a gift shortly afterwards.
Oh,
and
goodness.
She loves it. Oh, that's Midnight Chicken, a great, beautiful recipe book. And so for Claire, she's recommended a murder mystery called Caliphate. Oh, I love Caliphate on the Netflix US, which I'll be able to access with my ExpressVPN.
Yes.
There's also one season, but I binge watched it in a day. It traces multiple characters, beginning with a woman stuck in the ISIS Caliphate in Syria who contacts a police officer trying to get out with her baby. It sounds really full of suspense and discovery.
It certainly does.
Yes, exactly. Action-packed with a mass attack, suspense of discovery and multiple characters whose lives all tie in together in the end. It will keep you on the edge of your seat. That sounds so up my alley. Also, all of your pregnancy rants are on point. Thanks, mate. I agree. I am on point.
Well, good. As long as you both agree that you're all right.
I like you, Julie. I finally figured out why I wasn't reading as much listening to you. Yeah. Your brain just, it's hard. James, suggestions for you are more my boyfriend's lane, but he's a dedicated listener to your supposedly more popular podcast, LOL.
Not supposedly.
Supposedly.
That is
Julie
a fact.
Is my new best friend
that
and she
a
said supposedly.
Fact.
And we are committed to that hypothesis. Stay safe, you guys. You too. Best wishes, Julie. You know what I love about Julie? Julie just gave me a recommendation. There was nothing there for you. And often people write in. For you. So I like it.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm from a more popular podcast. You are a spin-off of my more popular podcast. Oh, you know, like in a motorbike, how there's like a sidecar and then there's the person who runs next to the sidecar.
Yeah.
That's you. Okay, look, if you do want to help the show, we would really appreciate this. Both of us can agree on this. You can review it in-app. Like yeah. I'm Not Comical says... I'm Not Comical, and it says
Get
Spirit,
your words out, mate.
5 stars, says, I love this podcast. You guys are really helping me through this time. I like both your spirits, but I haven't heard James talk about the dog spirit on his much more successful podcast, The Weekly Planet, in a long time. Does he still like the dog spirit? Did her spirit change? How is she doing? I need answers. No, her spirit's great. She's bloody kicking ass.
She did get trapped in the podcast studio.
She did. I came out. I was upstairs and I looked out the window and I saw the dog just staring at me through the glass in the studio. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I go out there and I'm like, did I leave her? I haven't even been in here today. What happened? And then I'm like, how did this happen? And then my son was like, I did it. I put her in there. And I'm like, why?
It's not a good thing.
Don't do it.
No.
Yeah. All right, that's the show.
That's your show.
Next week. I always do that in the weekly plan. I'm like, next week, and then I might have a topic, but I don't know, this. I'll watch some stuff. And
we'll watch some stuff and let you know.
Come back.
We're actually reading a couple of really good books, but I don't want to talk about them until I finish them.
I'm not reading any
books. I may
never
finish them, though, because I might have a baby by next week.
Oh, my God, I hope not.
Yeah. I mean, the joy.
No, you never know.
No, exactly. You know what you will have by next week, though?
What's that?
A bald patch.
Maybe. Maybe. But if I work out my head so much, it gets muscular and it draws the hair together. No, if I got bigger, it would spread them out a bit more.
Oh, my God. Mm. It's the most bang man alive.
Anyways, grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week. What's wrong?
Oh, that's not the podcast.
What's the sign up for this show then?
James has a bald patch.
See you next week.
See you next week.
All right, Claire. You got to watch me drive off on this motorbike.
And I have to run along beside you. That's I can't even run at the moment.
Not with that attitude.
All right. See you later. Oh, thanks to Rook Collings for editing as well.
Oh, my God, Rook Collings.
You got a big job this week.
Oh, my God.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.